Amen. Greetings in the name of Jesus, the one who shall reign. Hallelujah. The one who reigns in righteousness in the hearts of those who are redeemed. Praise God. Amen. Can we bow our heads for a word of prayer this morning? Father, we come in the name of Jesus. Lord, we invite Your continued presence here among us, Lord. We pray, Father, that You would reign in each of our hearts here in this meeting today. Father, not only today, but Father, all of our days. Jesus Christ, enthroned, reigning upon each of our hearts, Lord. Father, this morning we ask God that You would minister grace to each one that is here, Lord. Father, especially to this Your servant, God, that You would grant grace. Father, that You would grant liberty to preach the Word. Father, in the unction of the Spirit, for Lord of myself, I don't want to do anything of myself, Lord. Father, we ask that You would touch those who are in need of healing emotionally, spiritually, physically, Lord. Father, we ask, Lord, that You would set at liberty those that are bruised, Lord. Father, we ask You would open up the eyes of those that do not see. Father, open my eyes, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Father, I pray that each one of us would know that we have been touched by the Master. That none of us would leave here the same as we came. But Lord, that we would, by faith, reach out and touch the hem of the garment of our Lord Jesus today. Those in need of salvation, Father, that they wouldn't tarry, continue to go around the mountain, whatever is hindering, whatever stands in the way, but Lord, that it would be the day of salvation for those who do not know You, Lord. Father, visit us in Your mercies. Draw those that are lost, Lord, with Your tender cords of love unto Yourself. Father, bring Holy Ghost conviction, Lord. Father, would You meet the needs of Your people? Thank You, Lord, that Your Word, it is Spirit, it is life. Father, thank You that we don't need to preach ourselves today, but we preach Christ Jesus the Lord. And us, we're just servants of the Lord. So, Father, I pray that You would, in mercy, captivate our hearts, Lord. O Jesus, Thou fairest Lord Jesus, captivate our hearts. We love You, Lord. We praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. We have been sharing together in the book of John concerning our Lord Jesus, His last words to His disciples before they were parted from Him. And this morning we want to speak concerning Jesus' last words, and we want to look at two main themes And the one is concerning the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, which He said, I will send. And the other major theme is Jesus' prayer that they may be one. As I shared previously concerning the disciples gathered around the Lord Jesus, and my Bible is red letter, and we see a lot of red letter. The disciples were silent. As Jesus, the Savior, the Master Teacher, was sharing with them at that Last Supper what lay before, and He was giving His last words of admonition and of comfort and encouragement and instruction. And you know how, I don't know if they knew it was His last words, but I believe there was a certain sensing that the time is drawing nigh. He was sharing with them that He must go and die, He must be crucified, but that He will resurrect again. But I'm not sure how they grasp all of that. But I do believe their hearts were quiet because there was very little interruption of the Master as He spake. And as we think of that this morning, we think of last words and how a father, as he knows he's leaving this world, gathers the children around and he shares some last words. Don't you think everybody is tuning in? We want to hear what he has to say. And I believe that's what was taking place here. The disciples, their hearts were tuned in. And they were listening. Oh, that God would grant us this morning to tune in our hearts to the words of our Lord Jesus as He is sharing with His disciples some very important things before He leaves this world. Open up your Bibles to John, and we'll be sharing a bit through a few chapters there, but we're going to look this morning concerning the Comforter. We will take a look at that first. So let's begin in John 16. John 16. And I believe we'll start here in verse 5. John 16 and verse 5, Jesus says, But now I go my way to Him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, Whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. Let's just pause there in our reading. As Jesus shared with them that He is leaving them, for 3.5 years they had walked with Jesus. They saw Him heal the sick. They saw Him raise the dead. They saw Him feed the multitude. They heard His gracious words. They heard the sermons that He gave. They were there when He preached those sermons. They were there when He shared the gospel with the poor. They were there as His heart was moved with compassion. They were there with Him. He instructed them. He admonished them. He taught them in the way. And now He is leaving them. And because He is leaving, there's a sorrow that has filled their heart. Just imagine yourself there with the disciples in that upper room around that Last Supper. And they're having fellowship and communion together. The Lord Jesus has washed their feet. And He's sharing with them before He goes to Calvary. And He's telling them, I'm going to leave you. And sorrow filled their heart. They were troubled. They were sad. Jesus is going to leave us. Our sweet times of fellowship are coming to a close. I'm sure their heart was full of question. Lord Jesus, how are we going to make it without You? You're the Master. They followed Him everywhere He went. And He's leaving? How shall we walk? How shall we live without the presence of our Lord Jesus, who has shown us the way and who has gone on before us? They didn't yet know the reality of what we know today. They didn't understand all of that yet. But Jesus said, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. Hallelujah. Hope. The Comforter, the Holy Ghost, He will send Him, and He shall be with you. Yes, if we go back to John 14 and verse 16, He says, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Can you imagine the relief and the comfort and the consolation to the heart of the disciples to know that the Comforter, He will abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. Oh, what a balm! What a joy to the heart of the disciples to know that Jesus will not leave them comfortless. That word has the meaning of not to leave them as orphans, not to leave them without the comfort and without the grace and the power in their lives to walk out the Christian life. He says, I will give you another Comforter that He may abide with you forever. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. Now we're beginning to understand that when You go, it will be expedient for us because then You will send the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, to be in each one of us individually and corporately together. Yes, the Comforter. The Parakletos is the Greek word. It has the meaning of summoned to one's side, called to one's aid, to be by one's side, to be there as a supporter and helper, a helper, an intercessor, a counselor. This same word that is translated Comforter here is also translated in 1 John 2:1, Advocate. My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. We have a mediator with the Father. We have one to come alongside, an intercessor. We have an advocate. We have the comfort of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the Holy Ghost. the Comforter. The Comforter, 14:26. Just drop down a few verses. John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Oh, what a joy! As the reality of truth begins to dawn on the heart, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. The Comforter teaches us. The Holy Ghost teaches us. Like Jesus said, when they bring you before magistrates or counselors or before people that hate you, don't even premeditate what you're going to say, because the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, he will teach you in that hour what ye shall say. Because he dwells in you and abides with you. We see here very clearly that the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, he is our teacher. He brings all things to our remembrance, whatsoever the Lord has said. So therefore, as a person is walking in the Spirit, as a person is walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, as a person is walking in the communion and fellowship of the Holy Ghost, we don't need to fear. What are we going to say when they bring us before the councils and magistrates in that day? Because the Holy Ghost will teach you. He'll bring things to your remembrance. And we can read many a testimony of a saint being put on trial for their faith, and God gave him a mouth of wisdom and of power that their adversaries couldn't even gainsay against it. This is our promise. The Comforter, he shall teach you all things. John 15:26. Just turn over there. Let's look at this ministry, this ministration of the Spirit, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. John 15:26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. The Comforter, the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father in heaven, he shall testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall not testify of himself. And this morning, brothers and sisters, this is very important that we understand the ministration of the Holy Spirit. The ministration of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth come from the Father, and he shall testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall not testify of himself. I believe that we live in a day when there is some misconception and error, and people seek a filling of the Spirit and a ministration of the Spirit, which is lifted up as some sort of a separate entity or being, which the Holy Spirit is very specifically sent from God. He is separate, but he is one with the Father and one with the Lord Jesus Christ. The triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one and in total agreement. So when the Holy Spirit is at work in a person's life, what does he do? What is the evidence, or what is the fruit of the Holy Spirit in a person's life? Oh, it's Christ-likeness, isn't it? It's truth. It's holiness. The Comforter. Oh, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Now, our God is a Spirit.
And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Because God is a spirit. I was especially ministered to as I looked this word up. If you type in the word Holy Ghost into your concordance, or get out your concordance if you have it in the book form or if you have it in computer, it will come up 90 times in the New Testament. The Holy Ghost. God is very concerned about this matter of us having a right understanding of the Spirit of God, the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and the work of the Holy Ghost in the life of His people. This is no little thing with God. And I think sometimes because of seeing that there have been error and there have been false spirits gone out, we tend to maybe not dig into the Scripture that speak concerning the Holy Spirit and His work, because we don't want to be identified or be mistaken to be of those type of people who are full of the Holy Ghost and believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit, because there's a concern there that maybe people would misunderstand us, or they might label us as being charismatic. But what do the Scriptures teach us? Let us not shortchange ourselves or back away from what the Scriptures do teach concerning the Holy Ghost. God is very concerned about this matter of spiritual worship and a spiritual life and being filled with the Spirit. If you take the word that is translated into Spirit, it is 388 times, using the Greek Englishman's Concordance, 388 times. Now, not all of those would be in reference to the Holy Spirit, but the majority of them would be. The comfort of the Holy Spirit. Let's look now into John 7. Turn back with me to John 7. And there's many, many places we could go this morning. By the grace of God, we will attempt to look at these two main points yet of Jesus' last words before His crucifixion concerning the Comforter. If you turn back to John 7 and verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." So before Jesus went to the cross, He gave the promise in that great day of the feast, as they were all gathered together there in the feast day, and He stood and He cried. Can you just picture the Lord Jesus in that great day of the feast, standing and crying? And I don't believe that was just a little bit of a whisper or a bit of a quiet declaration. But rather, I believe, as the Scripture says, He cried, He lifted up His voice and He cried and He said, "If any man thirst." And can you imagine? They were wondering, where's Jesus? Is He going to come to the feast or no? Where is He? Where is He? And in the middle of the feast, I don't know exactly at what point, but right there in that feast day, Jesus stood and He cried, "If any man thirst." Can you imagine the hush that fell over that place? And some of those religious Pharisees, "How dare he come up here to the feast?" They were watching for Him to catch Him, and here He is. And He lifts up His voice and He cries, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Yes, here is the fountain of living waters. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. For he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Oh, beautiful. How can you know if a person is filled with the Spirit? Well, when we drink of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can't keep Him in. He flows out of us. Amen? Jesus said, "This spake He of the Spirit, which should be given." So here's the promise. Here's the promise. Any man, if any man thirst. Are you thirsty today? Well, as we look at this, I need to move along for time's sake. But let's turn quickly to Acts 1. Acts chapter 1. And for the sake of time, we'll drop in on verse 4. Speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, of all the things that He began both to do and teach, until that day that He was taken up. And then in verse 4, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which He saith, "Ye have heard of Me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." So Jesus gave them a command that they should wait, that they should be assembled together, and they should not depart, but they should wait for the promise of the Father, which ye have heard of Me. Yes. Also, we see over in Luke, He said that, "Behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you," in Luke 24 and verse 49, "but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." You know, we cannot live the Christian life without the filling and anointing of the Spirit of God. Right. They took Jesus seriously. Acts chapter 2, they gathered together in the upper room. And Acts chapter 2, verse 1, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." They were waiting for the promise of the Father, which He had promised. They were in one accord, and they were in one place. All of the squabbling, all of who's going to be the greatest, all of those things were behind them. And they knew they needed the power of the Holy Ghost. Peter had denied the Lord. They all forsook Him and fled when He was crucified. And they were terrified. They needed the Lord. How about us today? Do we need Him? Do we need the power of His Holy Spirit in our lives? We do, we do. And there they were together in one accord, in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Ah, yes. When the Holy Spirit fills a person, they begin to speak with other tongues. They don't speak as they once spoke. They have now been given a new tongue, and they speak with a new tongue. And their hearts are filled with the things of God. It says that's what they heard them speak. They heard them speak the wonderful works of God. That's what they were talking about. And it wasn't some gibberish that nobody could understand. They all heard Him in their own tongue, speaking the wonderful works of God. What a change took place that day. Well, Jesus said to us, or He said to His disciples, to the crowd there that day, He said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Do you ever ask the Lord for the Holy Spirit? Do you ever ask your Father in heaven for the good gift of the Holy Spirit? Or do you think you have all that you need of Him and you don't need any more? I got what I needed when I got born again. I was born of the Spirit of God, and now that's all taken care of and done, and I don't need any more? Oh, God forbid. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Spirit continually. Well, the promise has been given. Jesus has ascended. The Holy Ghost has been poured out. Am I full of the Holy Spirit of God? Good question to ask myself. Am I satisfied where I am at in my relationship with the Lord? In Acts 5:32, and we won't have you all turn to these scriptures, but in Acts 5:32 He says, the Holy Spirit whom God hath given, He has given to them that obey Him. Does God just go around and pour out His Holy Spirit upon disobedient vessels? No. Does God just go around and pour out His Spirit upon unclean vessels? No, He doesn't. Does He pour out His Spirit upon proud vessels? No. Upon those who are sufficient in themselves and don't need Him? No, certainly not. He gives the Holy Spirit to them that obey Him. Reminds me of what we were talking about earlier in Jesus' last words. Jesus said, I will manifest myself to you. Not to the world, but to you. They said, well, how's that possible? Well, Jesus said, the world don't obey Me, and they don't obey My Heavenly Father. But if you obey Me, and if you keep My commandments, the Heavenly Father will come, and we will make our abode with Him, and there will be a manifestation of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's who we need continually in our hearts and lives. Oh, the promise of the Spirit. Let's go to Acts chapter 4. Let's see the effect of the Holy Spirit of God in the people's lives, and how that He changes us. Acts 4. Just looking at a few scriptural examples here. I think we'll begin in verse 8, reading. But before we start reading, they had imprisoned Peter and John, and they were telling them that they should not preach in the name of Jesus. And here, Peter stands full of the Holy Ghost in verse 8 of chapter 4 of Acts, and he said, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done unto the impotent man, by what means he be made whole, be it known unto all of you, or you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now look at this. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Hallelujah! They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus, because they saw the boldness wherewith Peter spake. They saw the miracle that was done. It says in verse 14, beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Peter, who had denied the Lord, Peter, who was afraid, is now full of the Holy Ghost, and he is now preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's reproving them of their sin. And they looked at these ignorant and unlearned men, you know, these philosophers, these theologians who had all their T's crossed and all their I's dotted, but were devoid of the Holy Ghost. And here was Peter and John, full of the Holy Ghost, and they spake with such power and testified and witnessed that the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the Savior. There's salvation in none other. And it's in His name that this man was healed and stands here before you whole. Yes, full of the Holy Ghost. And there's many, many more we could give. On and on we could go. When the Holy Ghost, this is a person's life, and the person is full of the Holy Ghost, as it says there in Acts 4, also in Acts 4:31, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the Word of God with boldness. Oh, that's the evident manifestation of the Spirit of God. When I lose my fear of man, and the fear of God, and the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ, comes through in my life, and we are motivated and we are compelled to share the gospel. We are constrained. If you want to know how much flesh is alive in you, go with our brother Ephraim to witness on the streets and get up on a bucket and start preaching the gospel. Oh, I hadn't done that for a while. And I have to admit, my heart was trembling. I had to pray, oh God, please help me, Lord. My flesh. You know, fear. You're going to think you're a fool. You know, all of those different things. Who are you to step up there and preach, you know? I need the Holy Ghost. I need His crucifying, sanctifying work in my heart to die to myself and to give me courage and boldness to preach. The Holy Spirit, He ministers. Acts 13:2, it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost spake. The Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. The ministration of the Spirit of God. Speaking, giving direction as the church waits before the Lord. As they fast and they pray and wait before the Lord. And then God speaks through the Holy Spirit. You know, are all full of the Holy Ghost who profess Christ? In Acts 6:3, he says, concerning the need that was in the church at the time, he says, wherefore, brethren, look ye out from among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Look out, men, from among the believers. Look out, men, who are full of the Holy Ghost. How could they tell? Well, the things we've just been looking at. The grace and the power of Christ emanating out of their lives. You know, when one is full of the Holy Ghost, there's a fruit that comes forth. Let us turn over to Galatians 5:22. And let us look there real quickly as well. Galatians 5:22. when the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, is ruling and reigning in my heart. Oh, there's a fruit of the Holy Ghost. There's a fruit of the Spirit that comes out of the life. Wouldn't it be rather repulsive to claim I'm filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm full of the Holy Ghost. But to hate someone? To be proud? Self-willed? The fruit of the Spirit. When a person's filled with the Holy Ghost, the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's not hate. It's love. It's joy. It's not depressed and cast down. All we Christians experience times of trial. We experience times of testings and burdens that we bear. But in the midst of it all, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? Amen. And it's peace. It's peace. It's long-suffering. Patience. Long-suffering. It's forbearing one with another. It's gentleness. And it's goodness. And it's faith. And it's meekness. Humble mind. And it's temperance. Self-control. Self-restraint. Doesn't have to lash back when somebody does us wrong. It's self-control. Doesn't have to get even. It's self-control. It's temperance in this world of all manner of things that we could have. But it's self-denial. Self-control. Against such, there is no law. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, He shall be in you. He shall be with you. And He shall teach you all things. Bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said. Jesus' last words to His disciples. How their hearts must have been comforted just at His very words. They heard Him. They understood what He said. They did not leave Jerusalem until they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They tarried. They waited for the promise of the Father. You know, it is a command. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That command is given to Christians, to believers. I have to confess, I am not satisfied where I'm at. I know the Lord has more for me. To be filled with the Spirit. But you know, to be filled with the Spirit, I must be emptied of self. To be filled with the Spirit, I must walk in obedience. This is not an experience. This is not some sort of feeling or some emotion. But it's the reality of the indwelling presence of Christ, putting to death this flesh and resurrected with Christ in newness of life. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwelling in you. He quickens your mortal body. Oh, I need that. I need Him. Are you satisfied where you're at today? Has it been a long time since you asked the Lord, "Oh God, purge me, wash me, cleanse me, and fill me with Your Holy Spirit"? Jesus said, "The Heavenly Father gives the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him." Just like as a father gives good things to his children, so the Heavenly Father gives the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. many, many more scriptures we could go to. Jesus said, "Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also must I bring. There shall be one fold and one shepherd." Hallelujah. Let's go over now to John 17, if you will. And for those who can, let's stand and let's read this beautiful prayer of our Lord Jesus. John 17, beginning in verse 1. "These words spake Jesus, and he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the same glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. And now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou gavest me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." Now let's read these next verses together, beginning in verse 21. "That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Jesus' prayer. Many beautiful things we will take time to look at one. And that is His heart cry that they may be one as we are. That His disciples would experience that blessed unity of the Spirit, that they may be one, even as Jesus and the Father are one. That kind of oneness, that they may be one. You know, as you think of this, did Jesus ever waste any words? No. This He prayed twice. In John 17, verse 11, He said that they may be one as we are. In John 17 and verse 22, He says that they may be one even as we are one. He says it again in verse 21, that they also may be one in us. Just stated a little bit differently. And then in verse 23 of John 17, He says that they may be made perfect in one. Brothers and sisters, I and you, each one of us individually, have a holy charge from the Lord Jesus Christ, from God the Father and the Holy Ghost, if I may say that, to guard and keep our hearts in this oneness that Jesus Christ has prayed for. I cannot afford, I may not allow something to get into my heart and life that would destroy the oneness that I have with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the Father and in the communion and fellowship of the Holy Ghost. And brothers and sisters, I believe if we understand the heart and nature of Jesus Christ, we also have a charge to keep with each other. There is a charge that we had to keep, that we may be one even as Jesus Christ and the Father are one. That I will not allow anything to come between my brother or my sister, my brother John Mark, my brother Paul, can mention all of your names, that we are very jealous to guard the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's a holy charge that we are given. Because here's what happens. He says, when my people, which are called by my name, are walking in unity and oneness, it displays the oneness of the Father and of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it displays that unity unto the world who is in disunity and is alienated from God, and they are walking about in the world not knowing the Lord and separate from the Lord. And Jesus Christ came to show His love to the world. And when His people, which are called by His name, walk in oneness and unity, it demonstrates the love of God in no greater way than can be demonstrated upon the earth. As we love one another, and we lay down our lives one for another, and we walk in love one toward another, and unity and oneness, and we endeavor to keep that, and we will not allow little unresolved issues to come up and start dividing us. That will be a powerful testimony to the world. He says that He will that we would be one with Him as He is with the Father, that the world may what? Believe. That they may believe and that they may know that Thou hast sent Me. It's a very sad testimony when a group of religious people move into a community and build their churches and establish their farms, and then in a matter of years, there is bitter strife and division in that group of people. At first, the people in the community are curious and maybe even enamored by these plain people coming into this area, where there haven't been any before. And they observe their lifestyle and they ask questions about them. But then as time goes on, how sad it is if there is bitter division and there's a dividing. That is the work of the enemy. That is the work of the devil. Now, is there places and times where people need to stand for truth and it may cause a division? Well, yes, I believe there is. But let us check our hearts according to the Scriptures. And let us walk in a spirit that is self-denying and laying down our lives and loving the Lord Jesus Christ and is walking in fullness of the Holy Ghost that will promote a unity and a oneness. Jesus Christ said, I will that they would be one. I have a charge to keep. God said in Jeremiah in a promise, He said, I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever. Why? For the good of them and of their children after them. And so I want to just clear my heart this morning that if we, as a husband and wife, do not maintain and cultivate that unity and cast out the stones that would come into our relationship to divide us, it will not only affect our lives and our good, but will affect our children's lives as well in a very profound and powerful way. We have a charge to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It doesn't only affect me. I have a charge to keep before my family and before the congregation. Because if I do not walk in unity and in oneness with my brother Paul, my brother Emmanuel, who's over in Africa this morning, you know, and my brother Mel, if we as elders do not walk in unity and we allow the adversary, the devil, the destroyer, to get in there and plant seeds of disunity and looking down on each other and not appreciating and esteeming each other highly in love, if we allow the enemy to get in there and get an inroad and bring some division, we have given place to the devil. And that will not only affect me personally, it will not only affect us elders personally, but it will affect the body. So we have a charge, we have a holy calling, a high and a holy calling to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I will that they be one. That there be a unity and an endeavoring to keep that unity. Because there is one fold and one shepherd. There is one God and Father of all. It says there in the book of Acts that they were of one heart and of one soul. We are one body in Christ, everyone members of one another in particular. There's many, many scriptures we can go to. He says in Galatians 3 that there is neither Greek nor Jew. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ. There is one body. There is one shepherd. There is one Savior. There is one Lord. There is one baptism. There is one faith. There is one God and Father of all. Oh, brothers and sisters, hear the cry of the Lord Jesus. I would, I pray, Father, that they may be one as we are. And that is a beautiful thing. That is a lovely thing. It is powerful. It is a beautiful testimony. We have a holy mandate. He says to the Corinthian church, I beseech you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. I beseech you, Paul says. And this wasn't Paul's invention. This wasn't his idea. This was the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the calling of the Christian. In Ephesians he says that we walk with lowliness of mind, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In Philippians he says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. Philippians 2, verse 1, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 3:8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are hereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Brothers and sisters, there would be many more scriptures we could turn to. One of the ways the enemy attacks the fold is to try to scatter them. That herd of buffalo or that herd of oxen, when the wolf is circling the flock, or that herd of elephant and the lions are roaring and circling those group of elephant, you know what they do? They put their young in the middle, and those elephants stand looking outward with the little ones huddled in the middle. And no lion is able to attack an elephant, an adult elephant, because the young are safely protected in the middle. Though the lion is roaring, though he's hungry, though he's trying to scatter the flock, they stand united. And that's how we overcome our enemy. We stand in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the anointing of the Spirit of God, and we stand together united. But often when the flock is scattered, if somehow the lion can spook an elephant to start moving and to become fearful and start running, then they scatter him, and then the little one gets separated from the herd, and then he becomes a prey to the lion. Oh, my dear brothers and sisters, fulfill ye my joy, says Paul, that ye be like-minded, walking in lowliness of mind, thinking of the other better than yourself, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Hear the words of our Lord Jesus. I am no more in the world, but I have sent the Comforter. I have sent the Holy Ghost. He's with us in the world. He didn't leave us orphans. He didn't leave us alone. But we are in the world. We are here in enemy territory. We are here where there's a war to fight. I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Amen. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Oh, that's for us. I'm not praying for just these that I see before me here. But, O God, for all those, Father, that will believe on Jesus Christ through their word, that they all may be one. That's us this morning. As thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved me and has loved them. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father,
thank you that you've sent the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. You didn't leave us comfortless. Father, I pray that today you would, in your mercies, in your tender kindness, draw us to yourself. That we would know how much we need you, Lord. How much I need you, Lord. The fullness of your Spirit. Of myself I can do nothing, O God. And then, Father, I pray, bless this congregation. O Lord, that we may guard and endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That oneness with Christ Jesus, that oneness in the body of Christ. Many members, but one body. The middle wall of partition broken down through our Lord Jesus Christ, making both one, the Jew, the Greek. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you haven't left us comfortless, but you have sent the Holy Ghost. Father, I pray, have your way in each of our hearts. We love you, Lord. We thank you for being our God and our Shepherd and our Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Aaron, for sharing God's Word with us. Something that I found very inspiring as a new Christian, I read a book called, I believe it was Tortured for Christ, if I'm not mistaken, about Richard Wurmbrand, who was a Christian leader in a communist country. One of the things he said, one of the tactics that he said that the communists used on the Christians was they would gather the leaders and put them in prison, and they would interrogate them, and they would try to pit them one against another. And they would say things to the one like, we have this record here of our interview with Pastor so-and-so from your neighboring church. And this is what he said about you. And then make a list of some accusation. You are an embezzler of money or whatever types of things. And as a new Christian, you know, I had the worldly way of looking at things, and it thrilled me and amazed me to hear how they overcame. And these men, apparently, they knew each other well enough and they trusted each other, and they would not fall for that. And they would say to their communist captor, "No, my brother wouldn't say that about me. I know my brother. He wouldn't say that about me." And these communists were, you know, they had never met with this. Because in the world, you know, you're going to try to protect yourself. You're going to try to cover yourself. What a witness for Christ. Amen. "No, my brother wouldn't say that about me. He wouldn't say that. That's not true." Oh, that we could be that way. That we could know and love each other like that. That maybe we're going to face that someday. That we could likewise say, "No, my brother, I know he wouldn't do that." And what a testimony to the reality of Christ and His Spirit that is in us. Praise God. Maybe God spoke to you today, and you just have something in your heart that you'd like to share that could be a blessing. This is part of the service too, a good part of the service, where we give you an opportunity to share a revelation, a testimony, a confession, a prayer request. Let's worship God in that way. Raise your hand if you have something that you feel God's Spirit would have you to share today with your church family. Maybe you have a confession. If you're convicted, today of something, God can meet you there.
And my thought was, we don't have to wait until our captors are telling us that our brother is accusing us. The accuser of the brethren does that already.
That's
right.
We
have to be on our guard that we're not thinking that, oh, they probably think so-and-so of me, or they're probably thinking I'm stupid, or I don't raise my children right, or whatever it may be, that we would take those thoughts captive and just rebuke them, that my brother would not think that of me. I need to look at it in a Christ-like way.
That's good. We already hear those things, don't we? We don't need communists, dictators or whatever to feed us that. Amen. Was there another one?
I just want to not be a hypocrite this morning and tell the body here that the thing that I repented this week of I just want to praise the Lord that for the gift of repentance, and I just bless Him for this time here together this morning, and thank you, Brother Aaron, for that message.
Thank you for sharing.
Thank you. I was once again blessed to be here. Thank you for letting me fellowship here the last month or so. I've been blessed. I was especially blessed today with the opening message, the encouragement to press forward, maybe through difficulty. And then also just want to be courageous in, if there's a failure. And I do fail, to be able to rightly repent and have the faith and courage to go on. I was just blessed by the thought of pressing forward and looking ahead and trusting the Lord. Thank you.
Amen.
I was blessed by the simple reminder that the Holy Spirit gives us power to be witnesses. And this Monday, if I come to mind, please pray for me. I'll be, Lord willing, meeting with our landlord, my employer, Abdul, Dr. Aziz, the Muslim man from Pakistan that hired me a couple of years ago to manage his chicken farm, has been diagnosed with lung cancer, and it's really starting to show some effects. He was in ICU a week before Thanksgiving. He was there for a whole week due to a blockage. His bladder burst, and he literally almost died on the operating table. So I believe it is time. And he's at home now. His wife actually asked Seth and I to come and move a hospital bed into their downstairs living quarters for him, as he can't go upstairs. So she says he's doing better, but it is a good opportunity to sit there and, I believe, share the gospel face to face. But my heart's beating even as I think about that. So pray for me Monday, if you would. Thank you.
Is that Monday or Tuesday?
Monday.
Monday.
Monday. I hope just to stop by unannounced and meet with him.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, Luke.
I want to thank the Lord for both messages. I was moved by both and feel compelled to add. Brother, the tactics of the enemy is, yes, first to destroy our oneness. And in one way I've seen him do this is first have them attack the mission and the missionary instead of fighting for him, with them. Instead of fighting with them, they began fighting one another. and thereby by destroying not only church but the mission also. That's his aim, that's his goal. And may we become one and see the enemy for what his goal is. And draw together and fight the enemy rather than fighting one another.
Amen. You know, I was thinking as Aaron shared of the blessing that we have working together as elders, and just the high esteem that I feel for my brothers when I look at them and I marvel at their gifts. You know, I marvel at how God uses them, and I realize I can't do that. I can't do what Brother Aaron can do. I can't do what Mel does. I can't do what Emmanuel does. And I feel that same love coming from them to me. And I just, you know, when there's that high esteem, if we can keep that high esteem for each other, to realize God has put something in each one of us. And, you know, that's surely a safeguard. If that's there, that other has no chance to come in. But it seems like that would have to go first, you know. First it would have to be a cooling off and a sense of whatever. But oh, that we can keep that. It's such a joy and a richness to my life. Thank God for each one of you, period. Amen. Was there another hand?
Yes, I also thank the Lord for the messages this morning. Both of them were greatly encouraging and touching to me. Thank you, Brother Tim, for the word picture at the end of your opening. I was meditating on that throughout the service a little bit, the circling the mountains. I think I find in my life I often circle a mountain, whatever it may be, just analyzing it and forget to step out in faith, trying to figure this thing out and what God wants from it, what here and there, but and just forget to just step away from the mountain in faith and just go for it, because the promises in God's Word are very clear if we just stop and look at them for every area of life. And I was talking to a brother this last week, and we were sharing about the body of Christ and the beauty of it, and he made a comment to me or something I thought was fitting to share this morning. He said, you know, Seth, you can express the fullness of Christ for yourself, but you cannot express the fullness of Christ because the body, the gifts, are needed. You can be a hand or a finger, and you can fulfill the finger's responsibility beautifully, but you're not expressing the fullness of Christ because you're just a finger. And it, looking at it in that way is a beautiful thing, because I need the hand, I need the thumb.
Amen.
To express Christ completely.
Praise God. God created us needy. That's part of our unity, isn't it? I'm needy. Is there another one?
I couldn't help but apply the message to the home, and just because of my recent needs in the home, just to strife between the children, and how that is one of our highest goals is to walk in humility, in the bond of peace, and in that we might have that oneness, that unity, higher than the goals of education, higher than many other things to get done. A nice looking house, whatever other goals might come in, but that we might have unity as a family, oneness as a couple, and unity resolving those conflicts between siblings. It's not a waste of time. Doesn't seem like sometimes to get anything else done, but that is an okay goal. That is a proper goal to have it, because that's how we reflect the glory of God, is in our unity and oneness.
Amen. Okay, there's one over here. Maybe one more, if there's one more after that, and we'll stop.
I know I'm a visitor here this morning, and I felt like the Lord wanted me to share this. My name is Kurt Nolt, and as Brother Aaron was preaching, I felt I need to confess that I need the Holy Spirit in my life to show my children and my wife who God is truly like, and I can't do that on my own. And I failed many times in that. And I'd like to just say I'd like to ask God to help me to show them what God is really like. And the second thing is that for the past number of months, my wife and I, we felt the Lord was leading us to seek out another church fellowship. And along with that goes a lot of misunderstandings with families and friends, and tend to become bitter and unforgiving. And about a month and a half we were here, and Brother Paul, you preached on, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will lead you." And my wife and I took that home, and we started applying that to our lives. And the peace that both of us have felt, I just thank God for that this morning.
Praise God. All right, thank you all for sharing. And do we have a song, a fitting song for this? Let's have that, and then we'll have a time of announcements.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.